Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to the Bama Online Podcast. This one on Monday afternoon, June the 28th, 2021. Travis Ryer and Charlie Potter, both in recent weeks, managed to get away a little bit, spend some time on the East Coast. Charlie up in the Palmetto State. I was in the state of Florida with family vacationing. Always, though, always plugged in with you at Bama Online. Let's get started with you, though, Charlie. A trip to Charleston, South Carolina, I understand.
Yeah, the wife and I went up there for, I guess, a long weekend. Got down there Thursday night and left Monday morning. But it's our 5-year wedding anniversary. And, yeah, I mean, I guess with everything being shut down for years, we usually like to do kind of bigger trips and, you know, not dumping on Charleston or anything. But some of the things we had planned before that, going to places and flying and getting rental cars is just so tough. So kind of kept it close, and it was our first time being there. I mean, we've been to South Carolina a bunch. I went to Myrtle Beach as a kid. I've, you know, of course, covered games up in Columbia, but first time there. And, you know, it was pretty good. I think it was almost overselled to me, though, or oversold to me.
Was I guilty of that? Because I chimed in on Charleston, I think. Was I guilty of it?
I think you were the most realistic because, like I told you, we stayed in Mount Pleasant because it's tough as hell to find a cheap place.
That's the pro move, though, if you're even just somewhat balling on a budget in the Charleston area. Mount Pleasant's fine, man. Nothing wrong with Mount Pleasant.
Well, it's not even on a budget. It's just if you wanted to stay downtown and be able to walk around, you're going to have to pay about $400 a night.
Exactly. So. Yeah.
And that's just, you know, especially when we're going for a little bit of longer stay, not a quick weekend, it wasn't feasible. I mean, we had a good time. It's just, I think I said to you, it's very similar to New Orleans. I know, you know, New Orleans has the grunge, the debauchery, but I guess we prefer that. So that's
how it is. Charleston's like, it's great. Don't get me wrong. If you want to delve into culinary excellence, then certainly Charleston's a great place to do that. You can't go wrong with just about any meal in Charleston. But likewise, you can do that in New Orleans, and there's just more stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess there's just, to say it in a less professional way, there's more shit to New Orleans, right? Yeah, New Orleans has more crap in its neck, so to speak.
In both sense, yeah. And the thing is, too, like a really bad habit that we have is, you know, we wake up and just grind. Like we try to get everything we can into a day. And like when we're out of town, because, you know, a couple of the big trips we've done since we've gotten married, we went to California and kind of did just about everything you can do in California the first year we were married. And then a couple years ago, we did Utah and Denver. We had friends in Denver, flew out there, and then just kind of did all the national parks. But sun up to sun down, we're just, you know, balls to the wall. We try to squeeze as much into the day as we can. And in Charleston, it was a little more chill. We could just kind of walk around and, you know, see what there is to see, you know, go back to the hotel, you know, take a nap if we wanted to. That was nice. I'll say that. But, yeah, it was just, you know, I give it solid B. I don't know if, you know, that's something we'd go back to anytime soon, but I'm glad we did it. I'm glad that, you know, we can check that one off the list.
Yeah, it's a cool area. The tough thing with Charleston too in the summer is, as we talked about, it's hot. It can be especially hot. And I think the perception is, well, it's on the coast, so it's going to be comfortable. No. It's inland enough that you don't always benefit from the sea breeze. So it can get warm. You don't really have access to the ocean, or, you know, I'm sure every hotel has a pool, but that's not why you go to Charleston to hang out in the hotel pool. But yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. Something else that we've seen here in the last week, Charlie, is this seemingly steady increase in the NBA draft stock for Josh Primo, most recently at the NBA draft combine. And when you talk about just the blue check draft analysts that are out there, it seemed like Josh resonated with a lot of those folks, especially given his age and where he's at in his development. What do you think the byproduct, the outcome of this last week has been in terms of Josh Primo's likelihood to return to the University of Alabama for a sophomore campaign?
Yeah, I feel like just over the course of this process, ever since he announced that he was going to enter the draft without hiring an agent, or at least, you know, one that wouldn't allow him to return to school, it seems like the buzz has just gotten louder and louder for Josh Primo. And yeah, like you said, you know, being at the combine up in Chicago, you know, he received rave reviews. I believe it was either Wednesday or Thursday of last week. Somebody even said that he might have had the best day of anyone that was going through the drills, doing the scrimmages. And, you know, there was a lot of video of him, and he looked good. And, yeah, like you said, the age for him, I think that's attractive for NBA teams. You can have him in your organization longer because he is one of the youngest players in this draft. And, you know, a lot of the times teams, you know, they really take a flyer on a guy. They see the potential. It's a little different than in the NFL, especially from a first round standpoint. And just hearing from Josh whenever he sat down with ESPN on Friday, because he shut it down. He didn't even work out on Friday. And I think that was maybe more indicative of, you know, his, I guess, increased level of confidence in his draft position. And, you know, he talked about how this has been a dream of his for a long time. He hasn't come out and outright said he's not coming back to school. But the way that he's talking, and again, the way that his trajectory is kind of trending upward, it seems like that's less and less likely at this point. But, you know, one of the things kind of stood out to me, and I know some of the people on our message board have pointed this out once I typed it up and posted it. You know, he talked about, you know, with him being able to be in this position right now while he's young, you know, he wants to be able to learn, and he wants to be able to learn to be in a winning franchise, be a part of a winning team. And he's not going to be a guy that's going to be taken in the lottery. But, you know, he is, you know, generating enough buzz to that he could slip into the first round. And the teams that are picking at the back end of the first round are the teams that are consistently making the playoffs. So maybe he's heard from teams like that that are willing to take a flyer on him. And, you know, he's confident enough that he just shuts things down in the combine and hangs his hat on what he's been able to do. But, yeah, I mean, it's not official yet, but the way things are kind of trending, it seems like it's less and less likely that he's going to be back for his sophomore year.
Yeah, if I set the over under for the percentage of likelihood that he will be back at the University of Alabama right now at, say, 30.5% that he won't be back, would you go over that, or would you think the likelihood is even less?
Yeah, I mean, I just that's a third, really. I think for him, I would probably go 80-20, with 80 being toward leaning, maybe even more than that. So I guess I'd go less. Again, like, it's, I see the positives of him coming back and having another year in Tuscaloosa. You know, he could be a guy that works himself into the lottery and gets more money. I know that's something obviously that's advantageous for everybody. But the way that he was just talking about things is, you know, he wants to be in a successful organization, a successful franchise, one that's competing for championships. And if that's his goal, then, you know, where he's at right now, and again, the way that he's kind of trending, it kind of makes sense for him to stick in there. So at this point, I would almost be kind of surprised if he comes back. So yeah, I guess I would go under from that regard.
Really smart by he and his people to send that narrative too, that obviously he'd love to be a part of an organization that is in the championship hunt really from the outset of his NBA career, because that's the likelihood of where he's going to go, right? 20 through the bottom of the draft, and that's where his age works to his benefit. If you're a team right now that is right in the mix for an NBA championship and you're going to bring back a pretty set roster for the 2021-2022 season, you can stuff away an 18-year-old like Josh Primo with immense talent and not worry about whether or not he gives you a ton in his first season. And, you know, he can learn from established pros. I mean, put him in a place like Phoenix or like that, boy. And you think about the future and, you know, what his role could be and learn from maybe a guy like Chris Paul and some others. You watch the Phoenix Suns right now. I think the biggest difference in all that is that Chris Paul has helped some of those younger players become complete pros. And that's the type of scenario where he would obviously benefit, and his age, I guess, would work to his advantage.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing this, it makes me depressed because, you know, Orlando.
He ain't going to Orlando.
No, he's not.
He's not getting his ears, all right? It's not happening.
I've just been depressed.
You'll get Penny Hardaway and like it.
I'm not upset with that. I've said it before. Like, at this point, I'll take fun and some attention over boring, which it seems like that's the case. But the fact that, you know, Orlando was tied for the best odds for the number one pick, and I wasn't sitting here jonesing for the number one pick. I know that's hard to come by.
I thought about you, Charlie. I really did.
Landing at number five, it hurt. Getting the eighth pick from the Bulls was great, because otherwise that trade for to send Vooch to Chicago would have been all for nothing. But getting five, I just, as soon as it happened,
NBA don't want y'all to be great. That's all it is, Charlie. You know, well, that. I mean,
you say that, but then the top four teams, two of them are Detroit and Cleveland. So I don't know how I feel about that. But as soon as they announced, I turned the TV off and the wife and I left and I got a beer. Having said that, though, yes, I do think going to a team like Phoenix, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. He goes to a team, hell, like Milwaukee or someone that's trying to compete for an NBA championship right now. He can go in and learn from some of these pros. That would be very advantageous for him. So I think what they're saying, like you said, the camp, the message they're putting out there is smart. And for him to be so young and still kind of raw and developing as a player, for him to go to a team that, you know, has all stars, that has playoff bursts in their future. Yeah, that'd be good news for Josh Primo.
So let's talk about Alabama men's basketball in 2021-22 if Josh Primo stays in the NBA draft. And we haven't done one of these since the news broke that James Rojas suffered an ACL tear, his second in a couple of years at Alabama. So not so much even just what it means from scholarship availability, but just player availability. If Primo does stay in the draft and Rojas at best is back in time for SEC play, who are some of the guys that you think benefit from this on the existing roster?
Yeah, I mean, the good news for Alabama is, of course, if you have a guy that goes and gets drafted in the first round, it helps with recruiting. You'd have back-to-back years where that's happened. Your natives and the staff can hang their hat on that, but they would be able to get down to 13 scholarship players because right now they're one over. So that ends that debate. But then you do lose Rojas. I mean, he's still taking up a scholarship, and you know, they sound hopeful that he could be back for SEC play. That will, of course, be to be determined in terms of how he goes about his rehab and everything. But, you know, losing Primo potentially, you know, this hypothetical situation, I mean, the first person I think of is a guy like Keon Ellis. You know, we saw where Primo had that injury there toward the end of the season, especially in the NCAA tournament, and Keon Ellis really stepped up. You know, you bring in some guys like J.D. Davison and Amari Burnett, I think their minutes would increase, of course. But, yeah, the first person I thought of was Keon Ellis, because they can play, you know, both the two and the three, kind of. You know, natives can move these guys around. They can even potentially play the four, you know, if you're playing super small. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that could see their minutes and involvement increase. And then, you look at just from, you know, without Rojas, there's a lot of forwards left on the roster. You have, you know, Juwan Gary coming back. He was someone that saw a lot of minutes last season. Noah Gurley, I think, is going to be a huge part of this team, you know, going into 2021. You had some new pieces in Bediako. Alex Chiku should be healthy. You have young guys like Darius Miles and Keon Ambrose Hilton. So they can weather the storm there. But with Primo, you know, he's that long combo guard that really the NBA loves to see these days. And you're going to have guys like Keon Ellis and Burnett that would probably take over there. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you get your roster down to 13. That's, of course, if nothing else happens from an attrition standpoint. And you feel good about a guy going in and potentially getting drafted in the first round, but you're going to have to guys step up, no doubt.
Yeah, you think about it, if you're Primo too, not that you would be challenged for minutes if you went back to Alabama, but looking ahead to next year's draft, you could be putting yourself in the same class then as a couple of your backcourt teammates, right? Javon Quinterly and J.D. Davison. So it just sort of speaks to what Nate Oates and his staff continue to do on the personnel acquisition front, Charlie, that maybe even just from within your own team, you could make life tougher on yourself a year from now based on those guys being in next year's draft.
No, that's a good point. I mean, of course, you know, Quinterly and Davidson, they're guys that are more true point guards.
Different positions,
but that's taking up spots. I mean, I know Primo, whenever he came to Alabama, you looked at some of the early projections for this year's draft, and, you know, when it was way too early, when you slapped that title on there, he was a guy that some guys had in the lottery. And, you know, I think that's some projections we've seen for J.D. Davison, you know, coming as a true freshman, as a five-star prospect that's highly regarded. You know, maybe he works in that same kind of trajectory and lands there too. So, I mean, you're jockeying for position. They do play different positions, but if Quinterly goes out and plays to the same level or even elevates his game, he's going to be in the mix for a guy that's, you know, one of the first guys off the board. Same thing for J.D. Davison. So, yeah, that's a good point. I haven't really thought about that, but it could be something that plays into a factor of, you know, if you come back, maybe you improve your stock, but then you're just going to be competing with guys that you're playing alongside, you know, for spots maybe in that lottery or at least in the first round next year.
Yeah, and even in that scenario, Primo has value maybe beyond a couple of guys because of the way he projects at multiple positions, 1 through 3, you can kind of even see Primo potentially, you know, being able to contribute at those multiple positions at the next level. We're going to take a break here on the Bama Online Podcast. When we come back, we're going to talk nicknames of the Nick Saban era at Alabama. Yeah, we know the Kool-Aid McKinstry topic was hot a little while back, but we're going to revisit it and we're going to run down some nicknames of note under Nick Saban as the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. That more. We'll also get into some case making for the Alabama football team for another Heisman Trophy, this one in 2021. We'll do all that and more when the Bama Online Podcast returns right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back with more of the Bama Online Podcast. It is Monday, June the 28th, 2021. Travis Ryer alongside Charlie Potter, longtime colleagues with you there at BamaOnline.com. If you haven't already, how about a subscription to the Bama Online Podcast? Simple as a click or two, absolutely free. And if you don't mind, we would really appreciate a rating and a review while you're there. So, Charlie, it was a hot topic. It is a slower news cycle for college football this time of year. But the official change of JaQuincy McKinstry on Alabama's online roster at RollTide.com to Kool-Aid McKinstry became official here in the last couple of weeks, I guess. No real surprise there, or did that one hit you a little different?
Well, I will say when he was added, you know, I saw it and I texted a guy that usually makes the changes to the roster, kind of berating him of why isn't Kool-Aid listed as Kool-Aid. And he said he didn't want to be because, you know, a lot of the times they ask these guys, you know, what do you want to be in the listed on the roster? And, you know, most of the time they just say their first name. I think it was actually Najee Harris that was like, oh, I can be anything on the roster. And he's like, well, you know, it depends. I think ever since Ha Ha Clinton Dix came through, they've kind of, you know, been open to some things. And I think Najee wanted to be listed as Big Naj, and they said no to that one. But Kool-Aid, I mean, whenever Nick Saban was speaking after National Signing Day, he called JaQuincy Kool-Aid. So that seemed like the seal of approval of, hey, this is what we're going to call this guy for the next 3 to 4 years while he's in Tuscaloosa. And it was a bit disappointing to see him initially listed on the roster just as JaQuincy. But now, you know, in the summertime when they've changed that, it's still Kool-Aid. Now, we've talked on this podcast before of how they change things on the roster. It gets pointed out or noticed by one of us, maybe publicized on Twitter or the message board, and then you can check back a couple hours later and it'll be changed back. It hasn't been that way, so I can appreciate that from UA, and hopefully it'll stay that way. I will change it on 24/7 Sports player database when it's in the media guide, and we should get that at SEC Media Days next month. So I'm still holding my breath because, like I said, they have a history of changing the roster. But selfishly, I am pleased to see it on there because I was hoping that that would be something that would stick with him, you know, for his college career.
Hey, man, you got name, image, and likeness coming in. This is the perfect timing to go to yeah. Kool-Aid, isn't it? I mean, it Kool-Aid, is. For crying out loud, sponsors Kool-Aid. I mean, that seems like a natural. I mean, you got all this NIL coming into play. If you got a nickname like that, you got to go Facebook official with it, I would think.
No, that's a good point. And first of all, I know we're going to talk about just some nicknames from the Nick Saban era. I mean, Alabama in general has had great nicknames, but Kool-Aid's up there. I mean, he's new to the scene, but it's up there. And
he goes by it. That's the big difference, right?
Yeah. And the fact that you saw the reaction on social media when somebody first caught it, just everybody reacting to it, and you would see a bunch of people saying, this is my new favorite player in college football. So, yeah, whenever you bring about name, image, and likeness, if you can have someone – you know, in a commercial or on social media, you know, just flashing your product around named Kool-Aid. I mean, why wouldn't you want that? And it would be a no-brainer for you know, Kool-Aid the drink to jump in there. I don't know if it's going to be that on the nose, but I would enjoy that if that were to happen.
Yeah, you could have Kool-Aid McKinstry and then have Gatorade come in and it'd be, you know, Gatorade Bryce Young or Powerade somebody else. You know, you could just do all the aids, but absolutely, it's awesome. And you said it, we've had a run of some pretty good nicknames throughout the Nick Saban era. Early on, I guess, and some of these we learn about, right, from Nick Saban himself in press conferences when he starts referring to players by nicknames that either he's come up with or they've had. Holla McGee. When you go back to Colin Peak and the 2009 national championship team, that was one that was very early on. Peak, the Georgia Tech transfer, came into Alabama. He was on the, I guess it was the MTV show. You probably remember this, Charlie. Yo Mama. And he was a standout on that program, Colin Peak. And he was Holla McGee very early. I guess we've had a couple of Smitties now too, right? Andre Smith. I remember Nick Saban referring to Andre Smith as Smitty. And Devontae, was he pretty much Smitty during his time at Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare that you would hear Nick Saban in a press conference setting or, you know, interview on TV or whatever, refer to Devontae as Devontae. It was just always Smitty. And everyone really said that. And, of course, you know, you hear more about Smitty, you know, this past season. But it was always Smitty, whether it was Nick Saban, one of his teammates, heck, even the assistant coaches. It was just always Smitty. And that was one of the ones I wrote down. And one of the ones, too, that I don't know how often he said it, but I know he referred to him as this. The one that immediately I wrote down whenever you had mentioned this to me was Jawson Fowler. And he has one of my favorite nicknames as Nudie. And I'm pretty sure Nick Saban has said that in a press conference, which is hilarious in itself. But yeah, that's an all-timer. And most of these, you know, Nick Saban has said, you know, there's some guys that have nicknames that, you know, that doesn't come up. Maybe that's just between, you know, teammates or whatever. But yeah, Nudie is definitely one I know I've heard in the press conference setting.
And some of these we would hear, or we've heard assistant coaches refer to players on the field in sort of a nickname fashion. Rashawn Evans, it seemed like Tasha Poy loved Razor, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that, hearing that from Tosh with Rashawn Evans?
Yeah, and I mean, heck, back, you know, eons ago when we could go
back to practice. Back when we could go out to practice.
The outside linebackers, I know people probably get sick of outside linebacker notes and videos and photos, but that's just, we are always so close to them. And, yeah, I mean, Tosh Lapoy, heck, all of the outside linebacker coaches really have just been very vocal. And, yeah, that was one that, whether it was Tosh Lupoi, I think even you know, Jeremy Pruitt, you would hear him call him Razor. That was one that maybe wasn't as it wasn't in more of a, I guess, professional setting with it
mainstream, yeah,
anything else. But yeah, on the football field, just, you know, off the cuff, that was what a lot of people referred to him as.
Richard Mullaney came in as a grad transfer. Slotty Pippen, I like that one pretty good, back in the day. For Richard Mullaney, Rolando McClain, I think Nick may have referred to him as Roe from time to time. Eddie Jackson, pretty good nickname on him. Bojack, I believe,
was
Eddie. And I think I remember Nick referring to Quinnen Williams as Q. I think that's how he would do it from time to time.
He would, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of them that are just kind of variations of names, which I appreciate. I mean, Smitty is one of those. And those are a lot of the ones that you hear. Yeah, Nick Saban would refer to. I think I've heard him say Roe. I've heard him say both. But you with Quinnen Williams. I've even missed, it's not his name, but just looking at the list and thinking of guys that he said their nicknames is Alphonse Taylor with Shank.
Shank, yeah.
And that's not a variation of his name. I forget the origin of that one, but Nick Saban's thrown Shank around as well. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of these I think are popular. Some of them you never hear Nick Saban say. Like, I don't think I've ever heard him call Deontay Bread Cornbread. I don't think I've ever heard him call another big guy, Terrence Cody. I don't know if I've ever heard him call him Mount Cody. But those are names that I think a lot of fans enjoy too.
And some of this has evolved into social media handles, right?
Yeah.
Isaiah Bugs, Big Pooh, Dante Hightower, Boomtower. Yeah. And a lot of people in the Northeast and New England, that's how he's known up there, Zeus. That's played a big role in this too, and kind of designating nicknameish types, tags on a lot of these players.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that I think we might have mentioned it off the cuff, but the biggest one that it kind of got the same attention as Kool-Aid, and I believe, I mean, this was dating back to his days as a recruit, is Haha. And that's sort of a variation of his name. His name's Hishon, And, you know, Nick Saban calls him ha-ha. Everybody calls him ha-ha. He, you know, from an NFL standpoint, I think he had some merch that had ha-ha on it. So that one, I remember just watching, I believe it was the Under Armour game or whichever game he was in. And ever since then, it's just always been brought up as if his nickname and the origin of that. So I think that goes into play with what you were talking about with social media and everything like that. I mean, he is just ha-ha now. I mean, you never hear anybody call him by his real name.
And I guess if there's an assistant coach in the Nick Saban era who holds the belt for nickname and or nicknames, got to be Lane Kiffin, right? I mean, yeah. Take your pick at this point. Lane Train, Joey Freshwater. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And the thing is, too, like, you just go back. I mean, Alabama football in general has great names. I mean, obviously everybody knows Paul Bear Bryant. But then you have guys like Snake and Biscuit. There's just so many great names about this that – I mean, we could do probably a podcast series on it, but I love going back and digging up old nicknames. It was fun to just go back and, like, you forget some. Like, I don't know how many people referred to him as this, and this was before my days on the beat, but Jamie Christensen, just calling him Money. That's a great
Money. Yeah.
So it's just I like going back and seeing some of these because you forget, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I remember this. This is a really good nickname.
Derrick Henry. El Tractorcito.
Yeah. King Henry, too. I know that's a big
King
thing
Henry.
Now, wearing that crown after back-to-back rushing titles.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun, no doubt. All right, we're going to get serious. Speaking of Derrick Henry and Heisman Trophy winners at the University of Alabama, we are going to make the case for Alabama winning yet another Heisman Trophy in 2021. You know, you think automatically, right, Charlie, about the quarterback position. I mean, you have to with the way the award's broken down throughout the years. And then lo and behold, last season, a wide receiver wins the Heisman Trophy from the University of Alabama in Devontae Smith. And you think about Bryce Young in all of this, but it's not like first-year starters at Alabama here of late haven't made runs for the Heisman Trophy. I guess, really, two out of the last 3 years, you've had first-year Alabama starters at quarterback who ended up being Heisman finalists.
Yeah, I mean, with Tua in 2018, if he had stayed healthy, I think he would have been potentially a Heisman winner. And you think about it, I mean, Alabama's won three Heisman trophies since 2009, and none of them have been at the quarterback position. I mean, every other year, basically, since Mark Ingram's won the Heisman, it's been a quarterback. And Alabama players have really bucked that trend. But I think, you know, the conversation starts and it might even stop with Bryce Young just because of, you know, there's so much they have to replace on the offensive side of the ball, whether it's Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, you lose, you know, Miller Forstall, so many of those offensive linemen that, you know, it's going to take some time, I think, for these guys to get their feet wet, to get acclimated. And things like that. But you look at some of the odds, I think he was at 13-2 at the last one I checked. That's the best of the Alabama players on the list, and there were four of them. But, you know, we've talked about it before. I think, you know, for this team to maybe not miss a step, I mean, he's going to have to come out guns blazing from game one. I know he has some talent around him, especially at running back. He has some talented tight ends, some wide receivers has to step up. But Bryce Young has to play well. I think he can. He's talented. Obviously, the coaching staff have a lot of trust and faith and belief in him and what he can do as the former number one player in the country. But he's a guy that, you know, he's going to carry a lot of the weight on his shoulders. And if he's able to live up to that hype, he's going to be a guy who's going to be in the conversation at the end of the season. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy I think Alabama has some cases that are worth mentioning, but in terms of just this season, you know, things can always change. I don't know if anybody thought Devontae Smith would be in this conversation either, but right now I think it starts and maybe stops with Bryce Young.
What if Will Anderson just goes absolutely nuts? Obviously, it's extremely difficult, nearly impossible for a defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy, but for Will Anderson to be in the conversation as potentially a finalist, is that a scenario that you think is even somewhat realistic?
If he does what he did for the second half of the season, at least from a production standpoint and actually getting the quarterback on the ground for a full season, I think he could maybe get an invite to New York. I don't think that I don't think he would necessarily win the Heisman unless he's a guy that, you know, just scores a ton of non-offensive touchdowns, you know, has 15 sacks or something like that. And I'm not doubting him that he can't do that. He had, what, 7 last year, and all those came in the second half of the season. So, yep. And now you have a full slate. You have Mercer, Southern Miss, you know, all these teams on the schedule, New Mexico State, where you can get 2, 3, 4 sacks in the game early on and then call it a day. So I think he's someone that can potentially, you know, be invited as the only defensive representative. But I still don't think we're at the point where a defensive player is going to win the Heisman, at least not in this era with the way that the offensive game has shifted.
I guess something, though, that could work to John Metchie's advantage is that at least going into the season, you're going to feel like he's clearly your top target, which means he's going to get plenty of opportunities. We talk about big stages. Look, every week's a big stage if you play at the University of Alabama right now. It's nice that you open with Miami. That'll be a very visible game. Now, you're going to have some other early season games where guys like DJ Ungalele of Clemson is going to see Georgia, and conversely with Georgia, you're going to have JT Daniels, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma. Seems to be everyone's preseason pick, but what about Metchie? As far as production is concerned, do you like how things set up for him from that standpoint, or do you think some of that could get wiped away by, if he is productive, well, that means Bryce Young's lighting it up pretty good?
No, I think that he would be the number two guy for me. I know he and actually Jace McClellan are they have the same odds at 66-1. Brian Robinson actually has a little bit better odds at 40-1. But for me, I think just seeing what Devontae Smith did last year, and that was, you know, you had a healthy Jalen Waddle for a little bit, even though I think if Waddle stay healthy, I don't think Devontae Smith wins the Heisman. But both of those guys are gone. And you know, we've talked about it before ad nauseum at this point that receivers, the biggest question mark, in my opinion, for this team going into the offseason, at least from an offensive standpoint. So he is really the only established piece that's coming in. You know, you have Slade Bolden, who did a nice job stepping in for Waddle last year. Jameis Williams, everything I've heard is, you know, he's the real deal in you know, summer workouts and things like that. I think he's going to be a guy that plays a lot, but still, you know, he's not established like a John Metchie. He's played at Ohio State, but not in this system, not with Bryce Young. And I think Metchie's just the clear number one receiver. I think he's going to lead the team in basically every receiving category that he can this year: receptions, receiving yards, your receiving touchdowns. Yeah, he's going to be that top option. And I don't know if he can go out and put up Smitty-like numbers, but I think he's a guy that can play well enough to be, you know, first-team All-American. And if he gets close, I think he could, at the very least, get an invite to New York.
It's going to be interesting. Alabama, obviously, as a team, has more pressing interest right now, but fun to sort of consider anyway, given that Alabama – has had candidates, it seems like, on an annual basis for, I don't know, 10, 12 years now. So something that is, again, very interesting to consider. It's been a lot of fun, Charlie. I've enjoyed this one. It's good to get back together. It's been a while, so we needed to do this. We enjoy doing it. We certainly appreciate everyone out there checking us out here on the Bama Online Podcast. Hey, Charlie, thanks a lot, man.
No problem. This was good to kind of go around the table for a bunch of topics because – I mean, you know as well as I do, right now there's just not a lot going on from a team perspective.
Did we burn too many up? We may have burned too many up on one pod.
Because, I mean, yeah. You got to think about
it. What the hell are we going to talk about next week?
Next month's going to be pretty quiet. I know we have SEC Media Days to look forward to, but that's not until the middle of the month. So we'll have to think of some stuff to come up with.
Maybe we'll rank the SEC coaches in terms of SEC Media Days prowess. Okay. You know, guys, coaches, in order that we maybe look most forward to, least forward to hearing from.
I will say this coming up. I don't know if we'll be allowed to go every day because it sounds like they're going to put some restrictions on there. They actually sent kind of not a rebuttal, but a revised version of the credential application because I've already applied for everything. And with it being in Hoover, I go every day. You know, you can get a lot of
sure
like stuff you were not expecting from that. So I don't know if we'll be able to be there every day. That would be kind of a bummer, because I like that idea of thinking of who are the most entertaining coaches to hear from in that main media room.
We'll see. We will absolutely see. But anyway, you can catch us each and every day. You got access to us every day at BamaOnline.com. The Roundtable, the premium message board of choice, a great place to post up at BOL as well. For Charlie Potter, Travis Ryer, thanking you again for tuning in to the Bama Online podcast, and we'll catch you again real soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.